But did she tell you Maharaj come in?
I don't know.
Shambhavi told me that, you know, the devotees running around his apartment down there. And
they may be staying there, but it may not mean that he's coming. Uh-huh. I don't know.
Did those devotees tell you that Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj is really coming, Shambhavi?
No, they didn't tell me. I'm just speculating.
Oh, it may just be the devotees who are staying there.
Yeah. I'm just speculating.
Okay. So we're okay till 7:30?
Sure.
6:31. Munenda Goshyam Upadesha Tattvam Sukatmana Dina Vayam Nirasya Pramodhya Svat Priya Sangadana Katamritam Sampratica Papaye. In the assembly of most eminent sages, the Lord dispelled my fear by explaining the truth through Shukadeva, and the Lord delighted me by granting the association of his dear devotees. Now I shall help you drink the nectar of topics about the Lord. Commentary. Many eminent sages like Vasishtha, Parashara, Vyasa, and Narada assembled to witness Parikshit's passing away. The word Goshyam, which sometimes means in a discussion, indicates that first there was some debate amongst the sages, as described in Srihari Bhakti Shirodaya. Kena te deva ta tattvam prishtavadam vikeniri nana shastra vidu vipramita sadhana dunshanai harir dairam shivo daivam bashkaro daiva vityuta kala eva sabhavastu karmarveti pitagajaku. Having been asked the truth about the Supreme Lord, the sages who are expert in many scriptures expounded a number of different theories. Each sage tried to refute the validity of what the others recommended for spiritual practice. They made various opposing claims. Hari is the Supreme Lord, Shiva is the Supreme Lord, the Sun is the Supreme Lord, time is supreme, man's nature is supreme, karma is supreme. The word Goshyam can also mean in the assembly. Taken that way, it indicates that what Shukadeva told Parikshit was irrefutably authoritative because the greatest sages of the universe unanimously approved it. The philosophical disagreements ended with the arrival of Shukadeva. Through Shukadeva, the son of Vyas, Krishna himself imparted to Parikshit the essential spiritual instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva enlightened Parikshit in two ways. By teaching the factual nature of the body and the soul, he removed Parikshit's fear, his fear of the bite of the snake bird, Takshaka, and of the cycle of birth and death. And by teaching about transcendental topics such as the glories of devotional service to the personality of Godhead, Shukadeva filled Parikshit with joy. By the time Parikshit spoke this verse to his mother, his divine spiritual master had already gone away, and the time for death had arrived. But Krishna could continue to favor Parikshit by again blessing him with the association of a saintly Vaishnava, namely his own mother. Parikshit therefore says to her, "Now let me serve you Harikathamrita, the excellent topics of the Lord. To be able to drink Harikathamrita in the company of the Lord's beloved devotees is the most desirable achievement in life." Krishnam prasanyam nirupadipipa karantam samvarda vipara vachanadarato grihitam svasyantakalam idame kamana bhruvete prashno taram shakalabhaisna vashastram sharam. I bow down to him, Sri Krishna, the reservoir of
Yeah, come down. Oh, you don't need a light.
Very good. also the Navadvip Baba Taranga?
Yes.
Mahatma Taranga.
Yes. I just read it today.
Oh. It's far out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Yeah.
I bow down to him, Sri Krishna, the reservoir of causeless mercy. Out of respect for the words of the Brahman, I have accepted the appointed time for my demise. That time being momentarily delayed, I shall answer your question with one pointed attention by describing the essence of all Vaishnava scriptures. Commentary. Someone might suggest inappropriate for a sainted person like Pariksit Maharaj to advertise his own good qualities. Anticipating such a doubt, Pariksit explains that everything praiseworthy he has said about himself is due only to the causeless mercy of Krishna. Krishna is the source of all undeserved mercy. If we see a generous person act kindly to someone undeserving, that kindness is but a small portion from the original infinite repository of causeless mercy. Thus, Pariksit Maharaj submits, even though I am the most fallen and unworthy soul, devoid of good qualities, many excellences have appeared in me. And these are nothing other than excellences of Krishna. My speaking praise of myself, therefore, is faultless. These moments are supposed to be the last of King Pariksit's life, but somehow they're being extended so that he has time to satisfy his mother, who wants to hear the essence of the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. Pariksit thus intends to give full attention to his answer, even at the cost of the yogic meditation he should perform while preparing for death. Interesting. Yogic meditation you should perform. You would be performing yoga. You'd think that after hearing Bhagavatam, you'd be like doing Nam Sankirtan, waiting for the snake bird, rather than yogic meditation. Shruti smriti nam vakyani sakshat tatparyatopiham vyakhyaya bhodayitvaitat tvam santoshayitum kshama. I could satisfy your request by explaining to you the statements of the shrutis and smritis, both in their literal meaning and in their implications. Commentary. One way to answer his mother's inquiry would be to systematically explain the authoritative philosophical statements of revealed scriptures. To do this, he would carefully have to discern which scriptural passages would be accepted literally and which need to be interpreted conditionally or figuratively to agree with what has already been established as real. There's just two things. One is, he must be a real scholar, Pariksit Maharaj, because he was just speaking this. And the other is this thing, you carefully discern which scriptural passages you take literally and which need to be interpreted conditionally or figuratively to agree with what has already been established as real. Could we do that?
I don't get the last part, to agree with what has already been agreed by whom or what? Agreed amongst whom?
I can understand what interpreting conditionally or figuratively, but that it should agree with already pre, that's for indirect statements or true statements. That sort of go contrary to very self-evident, direct scriptural truths. Tathapi svaguru praptam prasada samshaya chidam atre tiha samadote vyaktartam katayami amum. But I prefer to clarify this subject for you by first relating history I learned by the mercy of my spiritual master. This narration will dispel your doubts. Commentary. Vyas never formally initiated his son Shukadeva Goswami, and Shukadeva never formally initiated his student Pariksit. Nonetheless, the entire tradition of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the transcendental Bhagavat line of the Siddhic succession rests on the foundation of the relationship between Shukadev and Pariksit as guru and disciple. Pariksit will recount, in his own words, the essence of what he heard from his guru, taking care to present the literal facts in the most straightforward way. He does not want his mother to suffer any confusion or doubt. Vipro niskinchana kaschit pura pragyo shite pure vasam agyata shastrato rahu dravinakam yaya. Long ago in the city of Pragyotisha, there lived a poor Brahmin. He was ignorant of the teachings of scripture and he hankered after abundant wealth. I'll let you continue.
Tatratya devim kamakyam sadayanu jinam vajan tasya sakasha trishtaya satni mantram dasakshuram leve madana gopala charnam boja daivatam tadjanari vidanajyam saksha deva mahanidim. Every day he would faithfully worship Kamakya, the goddess of that place. And when she became satisfied, he received from her in a dream the 10-syllable mantra for worshiping the lotus feet of Madana Gopal. The goddess also gave him instructions on how to meditate upon the mantra and perform various details of practice. The mantra manifested itself before him like a valuable treasure chest open right before his eyes. This Brahmana lived in the northeast of India in what is now the state of Assam. His city, Pragyotisha, had been the capital of Bomasura during the time of the advent of Lord Krishna. The Brahmana had never studied the scriptures properly and had never heard a basic explanation of their message from authorized teachers. That such an unfortunate fool achieved all his ambitions is proof of the potency of the mantra he received. The 10-syllable Gopala mantra is defined in esoteric terms in the book Krama Deepika, an old Vaishnav tantra by Keshavacharya. Vedic and tantric mantras should be chanted only by qualified persons who have received them through proper initiation. Therefore, when books discuss these mantras, special efforts are made to disguise the exact syllables of the mantra. Sometimes a few syllables are changed or inverted in the description, or sometimes, as in the Krama Deepika's presentation of this Gopala mantra, the explanation is impossible to understand by those who are unfamiliar with the cryptic code being used. Thus, Krama Deepika describes the 10-syllable Gopala mantra as follows: Shangi Shotara Danta Shuro Vamakshi Yudhutiyo Dutriyurna, Shuli Shodir Bhalo Balanuja Dwayam Atakshara Chushkam. The holder of the Boa Shanga, the upper teeth, then Shura, and the second letter conjoined with the goddess Vanakshi, then the bearer of the trident, and Shauri, and Bala, and twice the younger brother of Bala, and four more syllables.
Trying to decipher that.
The deity worshipped by this mantra is Sri Madan Gopal, who happens to be the worshipable deity of Sri Sanatan, Srila Sanatan Goswami. Kamakya Devi gave the Brahmana not only the mantra, but also the method for meditating on the mantra's deity. And as implied by the word Adi and so on, she also told him how to touch one's body to sanctify it with the syllables of the mantra, and how to worship the deity through various means, including appropriate hand gestures. How was the Brahmana's attention attracted away from his worship of Devi? The Gopala mantra made such a vivid impression on him that he completely forgot his other religious activities. Deya de shena tam mantram vikte satatam japan Danech Chaya Nivritto Bhu Lebe Chakriti Mirvritam. On the order of the goddess, he chanted the mantra constantly to himself in a secluded place. Gradually, he gave up his desire for wealth, and his heart became satisfied. Commentary. The Brahmana was so foolish that he ignored the advice of the goddess and dismissed the mantra as the false creation of a dream. She then appeared to him in a second dream to repeat her instructions. Vastu tatvana vidyonyat sakinchit paralokikam sadhanam kila sadhyam cha vartamanam amanyata. Ignorant of the real facts, he thought that something other than this mantra, something in the next life, must be his means of success and the goal of his endeavors. Commentary. Lacking discrimination, the Brahmana was unable to recognize the value of the mantra relative to other things in his life. His judgment of what to accept and what to reject was impaired. But by the grace of the mantra, his mind, previously uninterested in the next life, now began to turn in that direction. The goddess had withheld from him knowledge about the full power of this mantra, and so he was imagining other goals and means of success. But as we shall see later in this narration, the effectiveness of the Gopal mantra, even when knowledge about it is lacking, is evidence of its great potency. The mantra bestows all benefits, even when chanted without faith or understanding. Vihadikam gridyajya brahmams tirteshu bhikshaya gato nivahayandeham gangasagara sangamam. He left his home and other connections and began wandering among pilgrimage places, maintaining his bodily needs by begging, and thus he traveled to the place where the Ganga meets the ocean. Hmm. The Brahmana's chanting gradually increasing its effect. He soon gave up sinful activities and needless sense gratification and took up a renounced life. Vipran Ganga Tate Pasya Sarva Vidya Vishara Dhan Sadharma Chara Nidatan Prayasho Grihino Bahun. There on the shore of the Ganga, he saw many Brahmanas, mostly family men, who were expert in all fields of knowledge and devoted to performing their prescribed duties. Since the Tirtha he was visiting, Ganga Sagar, was in southern Bengal at the confluence of the Ganga and the sea, the Brahmanas he met were Bengalis. They were expert in the 14 Vedic departments of learning enumerated in the Vishnu Purana, Angani Vedashchattaro, Mimamsa Nyaya Vishtara, Dharma Shastram Puranamcha, Vidya Yetash Chaturdasha. The four Vedas, their six supplements, the Puranas, the Dharma Shastras, the Mimamsa, interpretation of the Vedas, and the elaborate science of Nyaya logic. These are the 14 departments of Nirvana. Tairvarnyamanam acharam nitya nai mittikadikam avashyakam tata kamyam swargam shushrava tapalam. He heard them describe regular and occasional duties one is obliged to perform, optional duties for particular desires, and the fruit of these acts, attainment of heaven. Brahmanas initiated into the Vedic rituals are expected to perform certain sacrifices regularly as a matter of duty. Sacrifices like the Agnihotra Yajna, which must be done twice every day at sunrise and sunset. Such Brahmanas may also be obliged to execute other rituals because of special circumstances in their lives. When, for example, they must perform the Shraddha ceremony, memorial on the anniversary of an elder's death. Besides his obligatory nitya and naimittika duties, a Brahmana may also elect to undertake certain sacrifices and vows called kamya rituals to fulfill personal ambitions. Thus, there are three kinds of duties for Vedic Brahmanas. The Brahmana from Pragjyotishapura may have heard the local Brahmanas of Gangasagar thus glorify the principles of Dharma. Achara Prabhupo Dharmo Dharmasya Prabhu Achyuta. Dharma arises from proper behavior, and the Lord of Dharma is the infallible personality of Godhead. Sat achara vata punsa jita loka vubhavapi. A person who possesses good behavior has conquered both this world and the next. The local Brahmanas may have also glorified heaven as the fruit of Dharma with such words as these. Yanna dukena sambinnam nachagrastam anantaram abhilaso panitam cha sukham tatstva. The happiness of the residents of heaven is untainted, never consumed by misery, and it comes to them just as they desire. Nana sankalpa vakyascha tadanushtana nishtatam jistva tachodita shraddha pravitta shikshita satai. From the various words they spoke to express the determined vows, he saw how firm the Brahmanas were in their instructions, in their intentions to perform these duties. His faith aroused, he began to follow this process according to their instructions. The Brahmana not only heard the glories of Dharma in theory, but saw exemplars practicing what they preached. He heard them declare their intentions, sankalpas, to perform such duties as bathing daily in the Ganga, and then watched as they diligently carried these duties out. Although in all his life he had received no useful spiritual education, these Brahmanas were now carefully teaching him the principles of Dharma according to their understanding. Gyadarato mantram api nityam braho japan tat prabhavanade benta santosham teshu karma su. Out of respect for the goddess's order, he regularly continued to chant his mantra quietly in private, and by the influence of the mantra, he felt no inner satisfaction from those rituals. Attraction to worshiping the Supreme Lord defeats attraction to lesser religious principles. Sanavidya gatakashim didarsha bahudesha jan yati prayan janamstatja dvaita vyakya vivadina. He therefore lost interest and went to Kashi, where he saw people from many different regions, especially sannyasis propounding the theory of monism. Vispeshpranam pranam yada gatva prati matam yatin natva sambhasya vishramam tesham parshve chikara saha. He first offered his obeisances to Lord Vishveshwara and then visited the various ashramas where he bowed down to the sannyasis and had discussions with them and rested in their company. As the deity Vishveshwara, Lord Shiva presides over his sacred abode of Kashi, also known in Sanskrit as Varanasi, and known popularly as Benares. Vadeshu shada buddhi nam tesham pani chalastava moksham bodhayatam vakyai sanam mene satam matam. The intelligence of these sannyasis was pure, or at least it seemed so from their philosophical talks. Their words described liberation as something readily available, as if held in the palm of one's hand, and this inspired him to accept their opinions as perfect. Shinvanna viratam nasa mokshokarsha paranisa tebhyo vedanta vakyani manikarnyam samacharan snanam visveshvaram pasyam tesam sange prayasata mishtesta bhogan bunjana sannyasam kartavishtavan. He would constantly hear from them descriptions of the Vedanta doctrine, glorifying renunciation and liberation. He would bathe at Manikarni Ghat and have darshan of Lord Vishveshwar. And without having to work for his meals, he would enjoy tasty food to his liking in the company of the sannyasis. He thus developed the desire to become a sannyasi himself.
He should become a sannyasi.
Sajapyam gurava devyas tatantatsu kalabhata atyajam nekadhaswapne parshyatan mantra devatam. Still, out of respect for the goddess, and because it gave him pleasure within, he never gave up chanting his mantra. And one day he saw the deity of his mantra in a dream. The Pragyotishapura Brahmana's faith was damaged by the impersonal propaganda heard in Kashi, by which his hope to meet the Lord of the universe was replaced with a false hope to merge into oneness. Nonetheless, he went on with his mantra japa because he held the goddess Kamakya in awe and was unwilling to violate her order. Despite his weakened faith in the mantra, it continued to exert its transcendental influence. His heart could derive no substantial contentment from the promises of the Vedanta texts because he spontaneously felt more gratification from chanting Lord Gopal's mantra. Perhaps the Brahmana's attraction to liberation could have never been dispelled had Sri Gopal, the deity of his mantra, not personally appeared in his dream. Or perhaps his hope for liberation would have dissipated anyway by the power of the mantra. In any case, his heart changed. Tanmaha ramyata krishta paramananda gochara tajjapanya pravittahi Nalevesa Mano Balam. The charm of Sri Gopal attracted him and gave him the greatest ecstasy. And thereafter he could no longer find the mental strength to engage in anything other than chanting his mantra. He no longer felt any enthusiasm for sannyas or liberation, what to speak of sacred baths and other rituals.
This is what Sanatana Goswami is placing a lot of emphasis on dreams. This whole thing is being, the whole story is being fueled by dreams that he has. We don't place so much emphasis on dreams or substance in them. I'm not just being sort of culturally ISKCON, doesn't.
Well, is that, where does that come from, that we don't take it so important? Is it coming from Prabhupada or?
Some of it. Mm-hmm. So isn't it often Prabhupada would say, well, even if it's significant, those services.
Mm-hmm. I remember him saying, dreams of the spiritual master are an ordinary. Mm-hmm.
And he based his whole sannyas and mission on dream to Bhakti Stanta Saraswati Thakur.
Beckoning takes me out.
Yeah.
I thought it was horrible. Oh, when you think about it, there's a big difference between taking sannyas in your 20s or early 30s and doing it when you're in your late 60s or 70s. After a lifetime of, not in his case, but speaking of an ordinary person, after 3 decades or so of comforts at home, and then you're out the door.
Who was it? Do you remember who that Gaudiya sannyasi was? He traveled around ISKCON for a while. I forget his name. He was quite small. Very nice, didn't make any issue. But he was a disciple of Bhaktisthanta Saraswati Thakur. And he, according to him, when Prabhupada came, whichever month it was when he decided that he was leaving home and he stayed at Gaudiya Math, he was staying there. and he was staying with him. And then in his 77 recordings, Prabhupada said that he didn't like staying. He said, when I used to go visit Guru Maharaj and stay in the temple, Brahmacharya Ashram, so I didn't enjoy that so much. Yeah. Should it continue? Ti karatavyata mudho dina san satna magata toya divya sahagutya tatra adishta shirena sa. Confused about what he should do, he became depressed. Then in another dream, Lord Shiva came to him along with the goddess to instruct them. Okay. Far out people coming in his dreams. Commentary. His heart was drawn to Lord Gopal, but his mind was in a dilemma. Should I take sannyas and strive for liberation? Or should I just chant my mantra? Such is the likely result of fellowship with impersonalists. One's determination becomes fickle, and one cannot choose the right thing to do. In this third appearance in the Brahmin's dreams, the goddess Kamyaka brought along her husband, the Lord of Kashi, to make her presentation more convincing. Mamurta kuru sanyasam drutam shri maturam vaja tatra vrindavane vasyam purnartastvam bhavishyasi. Lord Shiva said, foolish man, don't take sannyas. Go at once to Sri Mathura. There in Vrindavan forest you will surely fulfill all your desires. Satkanto maturam gantum muhustam kirtayam stata sattadesha disham gacchan prayagam prapabhartmani. Eager to go to Mathura, the Brahmin set off toward that district, all the while chanting its glories. On the way he came to Prayag. Commentary. The Brahmin headed west, repeatedly chanting, Mathura, Mathura. There's a mistake in the printing here. Tasmil lasal marvapada padme ganga shita shri jimunam manogye snanaya magposha shitir taraji pratam sasadhum shatasho dadarsha. There at the King of Holy Places by the charming Jamuna within the Ganga, he found hundreds of saints who had gathered near the effulgent lotus feet of Lord Madhava to bathe the dawn in the month of Magh. Commentary. Prayag is called the King of Tirthas because there one discovers one's heart's devotion for the personality of Godhead. At Prayag, the Ganga and Jamuna unite, and downstream from their confluence, Jamuna is considered present on one side of the Ganga. This is the Jamuna within the Ganga. Ganga and Jamuna are not only physically united at Prayag, they also share intimate bond of love for Krishna. Tesham sadagitanati sovadi ki Shri Vishnu pujotsavam aikatavita tannama sankirtana vaginar tanai prenar tanadai vitais chashum vitam. On every side before him, he saw them conducting a great festival of worship from Sri Vishnu, with expressions of joyous devotion like constant singing, offering of obeisances, and recitation of prayers. The loud congregational chanting of the Lord's names, along with music, dancing, sobbing, and plaintive cries of love, was attractive. Commentary. In addition to what the verse specifically mentions, the Brahmin saw the elaborate arrangements for feeding and worshipping the Lord in his deity form. This same deity, Bindu Madhava, was seen by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he visited Prayag. So budho vishmayam prapto vaishnavam chatisnatan he gayaka vandinore dandavat patino bubi. Innocent, ignorant, and amazed, he said to those Vaishnavas, excuse me, you singers, you reciters of prayers, and you who are falling on the ground like grass. Commentary. Never before having seen such behavior, even heard of it, the Brahmin didn't know what to think. He was unaware of Vaishnava etiquette and unable to distinguish the Vaishnavas from ordinary stage performers and court reciters. And so he naively interrupted the Sankirtan and addressed the Vaishnavas disrespectfully. He could see only their external behavior, but not their internal spiritual status. Imagine what would happen if someone walked in the middle of the kirtan and said, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" Bo varaka nartakare ramakrishne tivanina rodakaram yathilankas charu mala dharanara bhavataikam kshanam svasta na kola halamar hata vada tedam vidadvekim kam varchata saddaram. Translation. My dear musicians, dear chanters and dancers, loudly crying out, Rama, Krishna, you men adorned with beautiful tilak and attractive garlands, please calm down for a moment and stop making such a racket. What is this ceremony you are observing? Whom are you so reverently worshipping? Comment there. He mistook some of the Vaishnavas for ordinary musicians, dancers, and chanters of mundane slogans, but at least he admired the beauty of the Vishnu tilak, which resembled in form a temple of Vishnu. Since he was unaware of the transcendental value of the sound of the Supreme Lord's name, sung loudly in public congregation, he judged the sankirtan to be needless noise. He assumed that these people had meaningful work to do and wondered why they were neglecting their duties to indulge in frivolity, or, as he suggested in his question, he thought this might be some strange kind of ritual duty or even the unusual worship of some deity. Tach chut vo pa hasanti sma ke chit tam ke chit abhubam re mudha tu slim tishteti ke tu chur vina vatsala. Some of the Vaishnavas simply lied at hearing this, laughed at hearing this. Others told him, you fool, just be quiet. Yet others, compassionate to fallen souls, said to him something else. Commentary. Some participants in the Sankirtan festival were newcomers to devotional service, began ridiculing the Brahman. Oh, you're the best of sages, the most learned scholar. Yes, you are right. We're all out of our wits, and this noise was a public nuisance. Some of the intermediate sadhakas in the group were angered by his comments. Others, the fully self-realized devotees in the assembly, showed him the same compassion they felt for all living beings. As real friends of the conditioned souls, they frankly told him what he needed to hear. Well, and then you saw that other piece that I sent you from Brihadbhagavatamrita about the different levels of attainment devotees get.
Is that earlier or later in the Brihadbhagavatamrita from where we are now?
It's later. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I sent the reference, I think it was second chapter. Sri Vaishnava Uchu, Ayevi Praj Vajana Si Nakinchit Bhatamudhadi Vishnu Bhaktam Punarmayam Sambodayana Jalpacha. The holy Vaishnava said, "Hey, bewildered son of a Brahmin, don't you understand anything? Don't ever again address devotees of Vishnu like that and speak to them such nonsense." The Paramahamsas were obviously disappointed that despite his birth in a Brahmin family, he was such a fool. Out of kindness, they advised him to refrain from treating Vaishnavas like materialistic people. He should never again ask them to stop making noise as if they were ordinary singers and reciters. Bhagavantam mine Vishnu nityam bhayam upashmahe guru grihita dikshaka yatha mantram yatha vidhi. Initiated by our gurus, we always worship the Supreme Lord Vishnu with the mantras and methods they have given us. Commentary. What distinguished the Sankirtan devotees from the Pragyotishapura Brahman was that they had accepted Vaishnava initiation from authorized acharyas and were practicing devotional service according to instructions of their spiritual masters. Because the Brahman lacked the mercy of a pure devotee, his chanting of the Gopal mantra was bearing undeveloped results instead of mature fruits. Real spiritual knowledge had eluded him.
So even though we got the Gopal mantra in the dream, he lacked the mercy of pure devotees. So his chanting is problematic.
Pretty interesting. Sri Shagatanam Kechit Raghunatam Tatapare Eke Gopala Mittevam Nana Rupam Vijottama. O best of Brahmins, we are worshipping the Lord in various forms. Some of us worship in his feature as Nrisimha, some as Lord Raghunath, and others as Sri Gopal. Commentary. Having been initiated into various Vishnu mantras, the Vaishnavas were worshipping the Lord in various expansions, including Formaram Narayan and his avatars Matsyakurma, Varaha, and Vaman. Sri Parikshit Uvacha, Tatoso Lajjito Vipro, Prichat Sa Prashrayam Buddha, Kuto Vasati Kidriksa, Kimbhartam Dhatam Ishvara. Sri Parikshit said, hearing this made the Brahmin feel ashamed. With great humility but with joy, he asked him, where does this Lord live? What is he like? What benefits is he able to grant? Commentary. This Lord, the devotees called Vishnu, was unknown to the Brahmin, who was curious whether the Lord lived in a village, a city, or somewhere else. What god, human or animal, did his form resemble? What special powers did he have? And what wealth could he give to his devotees? Okay.
Sri Vaishnava Uchu, Sada Sarvatamasati, Pahishchantas Chasap Prabhu, Kashjina Sardrasasthena, Katanchid Vijate, Kuchit. The holy Vaishnava said, he is the Supreme Master and he always lives everywhere, both within and without. No one anywhere compares to him in any respect. Commentary. In the material world, all things are limited in time, space, and substance. A person in a particular body, for example, has only a certain lifespan. Before and after, he is absent from that body. His bodily existence occupies but a small space within the universe. He may move from one place to another, but only within strict limits. And his identity is separate from that of any other person or thing. Lord Vishnu, however, is not an ordinary person limited in these or other ways. He pervades all time and space, and all other individual people and things are also part of him. This answers the question, where does he live? In reply to the question, what is he like? The Vaishnavas say he is unique and incomparable. No one's beauty or other personal qualities are equal to his, neither within this material world nor outside it. Sarvantar Atma Jagat Ishvarishvaro Yatsachidananda Gnomano Rama Vaikuntha Loke Prakatasadava said, Yatseva Kevyasvam Api Prayashati. He is a super soul within the heart of every living being, the Lord of all lords of the universe, the all-attractive, concentrated embodiment of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. He dwells in the world of Vaikuntha, where he always can be seen, and to his servants he gives his very self. Commentary. Ignorant of the many aspects of the Supreme Lord's personality, the Brahmana might doubt how one can devote oneself to a person who has no particular identity or location. Here the Vaishnavas assure the Brahmana that the Lord does have his own manifold identities and locations. He is a super soul both of the entire universe and of each individual living being. Thus his greatness manifests itself within and without. He is the ruler of all lords of the many universes. Whatever powers and assets other rulers possess, he has also, but in quantity without limit. He is the Supreme Master of Truth in person, and his primary location is Vaikuntha. Even though as an indwelling super soul he is hidden, his opulences are fully visible in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha, whom his devotees can see to their heart's delight. His beauty, charm, and countless other transcendental qualities are all attractive. And in answer to the question, what is he capable of giving? The answer is his own self. By this, the Vaishnavas imply that he can easily bestow pure devotion and eternal residence in Vaikuntha. What to speak of the four goals of material life? As expressed by the prefix pra in the verb prayachti, he liberally gives all this plus himself, which further implies that he and his servants share a flood of boundless ecstasy. Shruti smirti studiyamana kenasya mahimochyatam tadatra vachyamanani paranani mahushrinu. The Shrutis and Smirtis glorify him. Who can describe his greatness? But while you are here, please listen to the profuse history spoken about him from the Puranas. Commentary. This holy pilgrimage site, Prayag, the king of Tirthas, is a most suitable place for hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord from the authoritative histories recorded in the Puranas. Madhavam namantalokya pratirubam jagat prabho tatochira idam sarvam param cha jasasi swayam. Just bow down to Lord Madhava and behold him, the direct manifestation of the Lord of the universe. And soon you will understand for yourself all this and much more. Commentary. The Lord of Vaikuntha can be seen directly in his image as Madhava, the presiding deity of Dashashvamedha Ghat at Prayag. In the short time the Vaishnavas were speaking to the Pragyotishapur Brahmana, they could only hint at the glories of Lord Vishnu. But if the Brahmana were to follow their advice by hearing from them the Puranas, bowing down to Lord Madhava, and meditating on the deity's beautiful form, more realization would automatically be revealed.
Pragyotishapur was the place of Bulbasaur.
That's what it says.
And was Shal. Who ended up driving Karna's chariot? Shalva. Wasn't he from there also? So, do you know, is there an equivalent of that? Pragyotishapur?
So that's where Bulbasaur, he's the one who had locked up all those princesses?
Yeah. And he had all kinds of walls around, electric barbed wires and electrified cords and all kinds of missiles.
Sri Prachiduvacha, Tatasri Madhavam Viksha, Namamsasmin Vyachastasa, Sarubhyam Swachape Chintya, Manadevasya Kinchana. Sri Prachit said, thus while looking at Sri Madhava and bowing down to him, the Brahmana noticed some likeness in appearance between Sri Madhava and the Lord on whom he meditated while chanting his mantra. Commentary. Just as the Vaishnavas had predicted, by associating with Lord Madhava, the Brahmana began to realize transcendental knowledge. He noticed that certain features of the deity, like the shape of his mouth and eyes, were similar to the features of the Lord, whom he sometimes envisioned while chanting his mantra. Tachakinjit Brahmanam sa shinoti saha vaishnavai tayarchamana vivida Vishnu Murtis Chapasyati. There at Dashashvamedha Ghat, he heard some passages from the Puranas in the company of the Vaishnavas, and he saw various deities of Vishnu they worshipped. Commentary. In the presence of Lord Madhava, he listened to discussions on such portions of the Puranas as the Magha Mahatmya Ashipadma Purana, Uttarakhanda, which praises bathing at Prayag in the month of Magh. By hearing in the company of pure devotees, he became affected by their strong faith and ecstatic mood. Tatapi pratyavigyayam tasya nasyat achetasa maddevo jagadishoyam madhavo pisatam prabhu. Nonetheless, he remained ignorant, unable to recognize his own worshipful deity to be the same Lord Madhava, the ruler of the universe and master of the saintly devotees. Commentary. Anyone with good discrimination would have been able to deduce from the similarities between Lord Madhava and Lord Gopal that the deity of the Brahmana's mantra was the very same Lord of the universe appearing at the Shastramedha Ghat. The Brahmana, however, was too foolish. Idam savim rishatye sam pasyo jaganishvara saiva madhavaschayam mayan yakopya pasyate. He continued to think that this Madhava, the Lord of the universe, was an object of worship for these Vaishnavas, and that his object of worship was someone else. Commentary. The Brahmana had enough trust in the words of the Vaishnavas to be convinced that the deity of Madhava was indeed the Supreme Lord. But he hadn't accepted enough of their mercy to understand that all along he had been worshipping with his mantra, the same Lord. Shankar Chakra Gada Padma Vibhushita Chitura Bhujaha Nama Devas Tatakasma Kutiyeta Samadhava. Lord Madhava has four arms, he thought, and is decorated with a concha, disc, club, and lotus. This is not my deity. Why should my Lord look like this? Commentary. The Pancharatras describe the form of Lord Madhava among the 24 Vyuha expansions of Narayana. Gadashanka Chakrapadman Bibran Madhava Uchate. When the Lord is holding his club, conchal, disc, and lotus, in that order, clockwise from his lower right hand, he is called Madhava. Nayam Narada Simharta Rupadari Chamat Prabhu Navamanopyaso Meena Kurma Koladi Rupavan. My Lord doesn't appear as half man, half lion. He doesn't become a dwarf or take the forms of a fish, a turtle, a hog, and the like. Nafi Kodanda Panishad Raghavo Raja Lakshana Hesham Chit Esham Pujena Gopali Nastubas Sadrik. Nor does he become the Lord of the Raghus with the signs of a king and a bow in his hand. But maybe my deity does somewhat resemble the Gopala worship by some of these devotees. Commentary. The Brahmana could not identify the deity of his mantra with Lord Ramachandra, who appeared as a great king with royal symbols of throne, chamras, and white umbrella. Manyetapi madiyoyam nabhaved jagadishvara nasti tal lakshanam madha mahatmya dao shutam hitigat. Still, I cannot imagine that my deity is the Lord of the universe. My deity doesn't have the characteristics I've heard described in the glorification of the month of Magh and other scriptural texts. Commentary. Lord Madhava Prayag is described in the story of Deva Jyuti, which is included in the Madhava Mahatmya of the Padma Purana. Tamjistra Garudarudam Yagra Yalada Chavim Chatur Bhavuni Vishalaksham Sarvalankara Bhushitam. He saw the Lord seated on Garuda. The Lord's complexion was the color of a new rain cloud. He had four arms and broad eyes, and he was decorated with all kinds of ornaments. Brahmadaya Surasarve Yogina Sanakadaya Tam Sakshat Kartamishjanti Siddhascha Kapiladaya. All the demigods led by Brahma, the yogis led by Sanaka, and the perfected mystics led by Kapila want to see you in person. The current verse says that the Brahmana heard from Magha Mahatmya Dao, the Magha Mahatmya and other texts. Those other texts may have included the section of Sri Skanda Purana that glorifies Prayag Tirtha. Gopa Babardai Sakibir Vane Saga Vamshimako Rakshati Vanya Bhushana Gopangana Varga Vilasalam Pato Dharmam Satam Mangaya Titaro Yata. My Lord takes care of the cows in the forest along with his many cowherd friends. He holds a flute to his mouth and is decorated with forest ornaments. Just like ordinary, like an ordinary person, he transgresses the religious principles of saints, being always addicted to playful sports with all the cowherd girls.
Now how did he get that far?
I was about to say the same thing.
By chanting. And as far as I know, his mantra is Krin Krishnaya Govindaya Either Namaha or Swaha. It same thing happens with Gop Kumar. I guess he's chanting without offense.
Commentary. Arguing on the strength of the evidence he has gathered about his Gopal from meditating on the mantra, the Brahmani here tries to prove that the deity of his own mantra cannot be the Lord of the universe. The Brahmana's worship of Gopal is always in the forest with his friends, busy taking care of his cows. His flute is usually near his mouth because he very much likes playing on it. He also likes to decorate himself with forest items like pitha feathers, garlands of kadamba flowers, red oxide tilak for his forehead, and rings of gunja berries for his ears. Like a wayward materialist, he violates the laws of cultured behavior by consorting with other men's wives and behaving in other socially forbidden ways, none of which suits the character of the Supreme Lord of the universe. Even if in some features the Brahmana's Gopal resembles the Gopal worshipped by some of the local Vaishnavas, the Narayan expansion called Gopal, that Gopal Narayan cannot be the same person. Lord Narayan could hardly go wandering in the forest tending cows, nor habitually breaking the principles of religion.
So, I mean, we chant Hare Krishna, but we've got all these books and we learned all these things, and all right, so we know who the presiding deity of the mantra is when we're chanting. He doesn't know anything. And by chanting his mantra, all of these things are getting... He's got red oxide tilak on his forehead. All of these things are getting revealed to him just on the strength of... progressive impression. Twice from Devi, then Lord Shiva, then Gopal himself appeared. Of course, what he dreamt when Gopal appeared, that we don't know. How extensive that dream was. But he's certainly getting some kind of meditation, some spruti that's coming up. Even though he doesn't know who it is.
So there's a Narayan expansion called Gopal that can't be the same person as his Gopal. Gopal Narayan. You ever heard of Gopal Narayan?
I think so.
Devya Prabhava Anandam Asyapya Radhane Labe Tanno Jayam Kadapyenam Eitan Mantra Japam Nachar.
This is Balaji. It's Gopal Narayan.
Yeah.
He's Narayan who became Gopal.
What does it mean that he became Gopal?
For him, he's Lord Narayan, and when he came to Earth, he took on the form of a cowherd boy, cowherd man, and that was Balaji, that was how he lived over there. He was like a cowherd. That's why they chant Govinda, Govinda. And there's a Narayan form called Govinda also, isn't it?
Yeah. Another
one.
Well, here it says Lord Narayan could hardly go wandering in the forest tending cows.
I guess it's Lord Narayan.
But that Gopal Narayan and Balaji, he does that.
You know, I sent this in the 77 lectures, this interesting... interesting thing where they start talking about Tirupati anthology, and someone starts saying the story that we always hear about how Balaji gets in debt. So Prabhupada just dismisses it because Krishna doesn't get in debt.
So when he says Krishna doesn't get in debt, is he referring to Swayam Bhagavan, or is he...
I don't know. What? There's like... I think remember there was that picture that I don't know who painted, whether it was Jadarani or someone, of Krishna in sort of a grove and lamenting.
I think it was Jadarani.
And Prabhupada was really upset. Krishna's never lamenting. But that was, I think it was like straight out of Gita Govinda.
So what do you think his reasons for saying that were?
Time and circumstance. But how we wanted to view Krishna according to is it tattva or bhava?
Yeah, I agree, time and circumstance. I remember him chastising the artist, WBT, who's filling my books with pictures of Krishna and the gopis. We want to see how Krishna controls everyone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you know Vasudev artist, German?
I knew about him, yes, I didn't know him well.
I remember when I went in 73 to L.A., he was there. It was very good. That picture, I remember he was, he just finished that picture of Yudhisthira Maharaj going off to Himalayas, he painted that. And they said first he had him with a danda. And Prabhupada said, in this chapter, don't take sannyas, it's a stick.
Would you like to read?
Devya Prabhavad Anandam Asyapya Radhani Ravi Tanna Jayam Kadapyanam Etan Mantram Japam Nacha. By the power of the goddess, I have felt bliss in worshipping him. Therefore, I shall never abandon him or my chanting of his mantra. Commentary. Vaishnavas may question how one can realize ecstasy in worshipping anyone other than the Supreme Lord. But the Brahman counters that it is possible by the potency of the goddess Kanyaka, since she ordered him to always chant this mantra, and since he feels such pleasure in chanting, why should he give it up? Evam sapurvavan mantram tam japam nirjane nijam devam shaksha divikshita satam sangha prabhavata. Thus the Brahman continued chanting his mantra in seclusion as before, and by the power of the sainted company of the Vaishnavas, he would see his Lord as if directly in person. Commentary. Since the ignorant Brahman lacked the instructions and blessings of a pure devotee spiritual master, he had not yet developed true knowledge and faith, but still he was reaping the benefits of sadhu sangha and prayag. Even without the support of guru and shastra, he was making some advancement by associating favorably with Vaishnavas. He kept chanting the 10-syllable Gopal mantra, renowned among all mantras as the most excellent, and as his heart became more and more cleansed, he entered into an intense meditation in which he saw his Lord as vividly as if the Lord were physically present.
Well, this is all while not being able to correlate his vision of the Lord in his dream, and that he's seeing now vividly as physically present. He can't correlate that with the deity. Is that what's going on?
Say that again.
Before we were hearing that what he was seeing in his dream, he said, oh, it looks somewhat like this deity. Mm. Now he's seeing the Lord as if physically present, but we haven't heard yet how he's correlating that present darshan with the deity that he recognized something familiar.
No. There's no. I don't think he necessarily connects. Okay. But it's quite amazing that he becomes minus guru, just with sadhusanga, shraddha, although Kamika Devi gave him the mantra, so she is his diksha guru, female diksha guru.
She's the wife of Lord Shiva?
Yes.
So that's another, it's just another name for Parvati or Durga or one of those.
Yeah. Because in the early verse he said she brought her husband along.
Yeah.
Vastu svabhavadananda murchanatnotikar hichit vyutaya japakalampa gamam alakshasochati. Because of the nature of the object of his meditation, he sometimes fainted in ecstasy. And when he woke up and noticed that the time for chanting his mantra has been lost, he would lament. Commentary, sometimes the ecstasy of his meditation made all the external functions of his senses stop, as if he had achieved samadhi. This symptom was but a superficial reflection of advanced conditions of bhava and prema. It arose not from mature understanding of the object of meditation, but from transcendental influence of the object himself. Not from mature understanding of the object, but the transcendental influence of the object himself. So this was like Abbas. I take it he's experiencing Bhavavas. They're so intense that he's fainting. Which gives credence that devotees' experience have real substantial experiences, especially in kirtan and other times, which may be a bas of bhava, but it's real. Upadravo yam ko menu jato vigno mahankila nasammato japo medya tano ratriyam adita. What is the cause of this disturbance? And I'm in great trouble. Night has fallen before I could finish today's chanting. Commentary. That night had come before he could finish his chanting was an upadrava, or cause of pain, as well as a vigna, an obstruction to fulfilling his vow to chant a prescribed number of mantras daily. Yeah, we don't know. It seems he's chanting more than what we're chanting. Like, well, he's only got one mantra. But we'll be chanting the mantra 10 times, thrice. He must be doing more than that. Same with Gopakumara later on. Kim nidrabhi bhavoyam me kim bhutabhi bhavotava aho madhus vabhavo yach chokastani piritsukam. Have I fallen asleep or become haunted by a ghost? Oh, I'm so wicked that even when I have reason to be sad, I feel happiness in my heart. Commentary. Trying to answer his own question about the cause of the problem, the Brahmin guessed that he might have fallen asleep. But since he didn't feel tired, he guessed again that something else might have happened, like having been attacked by a ghost. Ekadatu tatai vaso socham akkitabo jana nigrano madavene dam samadhishta sasambhatam. One day, however, while lamenting in this way, as he began to feel drowsy from fasting, he saw Lord Madhava, consoled him, and gave him this instruction. Commentary. Once again, the Brahmin had fallen into a trance of ecstasy, and upon waking, had become upset with himself. This time he felt so discouraged that he finished the day without eating, which made him feel sleepy. Lord Madhava, the deity of Dash Ashwamedha Tirtha, then appeared to him in the sleeping state and said something like this: "Why are you lamenting for no good reason, and why are you causing distress to me, your worshipable deity? I assure you that all your ambitions will soon be achieved." Vipra Vishveshvarasya Nu Smara Vakyam Umapate Jamuna Tira Margena Tachri Vrindavadam Braja. Dear Brahman, please remember the words of Vishveshvara, the husband of Uma. Go by the path along the shore of the Jamuna to Shri Vrindavan. While reminding the Brahman of Lord Vishveshvara, instructions, Lord Gopal repeated it from his own mouth and in his own words, thus making it his direct order also. Apart from this, Vishveshwara, Lord Shiva, is the husband of the goddess Kamakya, the spiritual authority who gave the Brahmin his mantra, so the Brahmin should not neglect the instruction. Tatra shada ranam harsham lapsyate mat prasadata vilambam patikutrapi mat kurushva katanchana. By my mercy there you will obtain extraordinary pleasure. Go and don't delay anywhere on the road for any reason. Commentary. The pleasure to be had in Sri Vrindavan is incomparable, superior to all four kinds of success in worldly endeavor, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, liberation. The Brahmin should be undistracted while on the road to Vrindavan. He shouldn't stay away from devotional service onto the roads, onto the side roads of dhyana and karma. Lord Madhava here advises the Brahmin that good fortune will arise by his mercy alone, the Lord's mercy, not that of anyone else. But that mercy of Lord Madhava will appear especially in certain places, at certain times, and in certain company. Certain places. Mercy comes at certain places, at certain times, and in certain company.
So first he's seeing his Lord within, and now he's relating with the deity of the Sastramita Tirtha.
Deity appeared in his dream. Tatasya prata uthaya hrishta santashtita kama shriman madhupurim prata snato vishrantitirtake. Thus the Brahmin arose early in the morning and happily set out on his journey. Gradually he came to blessed Madhupuri and bathed in vishrantitirtha. Obeying the Lord's order, the Brahmin at once started for Vrindavan, and when he entered the holy dhyan, he first came to Mathura city. Following the standard custom of pilgrims, he first visited the bathing place on the Jamuna known as Vishwanti Tirtha, Vishwamgat. Gato Vrindavanam Tatra Dhyayamanam Nijayajapi Tam Tam Parikaram Payo Viksha Vikshnam Nandanasa. He went on to Vrindavan and there felt enlivened at every moment, for while chanting his mantra, he saw in meditation most of the companions and surroundings from Krishna's pastimes. He went on to Vrindavan and there felt enlivened at every moment, for while chanting his mantra, he saw in meditation most of the companions. Commentary. He saw Krishna's supremely beautiful cows, cowherds, kadamba trees, and so on, which, although famous, are beyond the power of unqualified people to describe. Tasmin go bhushite pashyam kam ahapitas tato brahman keshi tirtasya purvasyam dishi sushravarodhanam. He wandered here and there in that cow-adorned land without meeting any people. But at one place on the eastern side of Keshi Tirtha, he heard someone crying. Commentary. At the holy place where Krishna had once killed the horse demon Keshi, the Brahmin met the first human being he was to encounter in Vrindavan. This sacred place, Keshi Tirtha, is described in the Mathura Mahatmya of the Varaha Purana. Ganga Shataguna. Now, just in chronology, this is Parikshit Maharaj. So, it's telling the story, so it's not happened after him, it's happened before. And he's just two generations away from Krishna. So either it's happening in an intervening space or possibly happening before Krishna's appearance. I don't know. The span of time. Well, anyway, the Gop Kumar's span of time is something else. I guess this part could be then, but what Gop Kumar talks about definitely goes to previous days of Brahma. But anyway, it's Keshi Tirtha, eternal Tirtha. This place, Keshi Tirtha, is described in the Mathura Mahatmya of the Varaha Purana. Ganga Shatanguna Prokta Mature Mamandale Jamuna Vishvita Devi Natakarya Vicharana Tasya Shataguna Prokta Yatra Keshi Nipatita Kasya Shataguna Prokta Yatra Vishrami Talohari. 100 times more sacred than the Ganga, O Goddess Earth, is the Jamuna in my own abode, Mathura. No one need doubt this. More sacred than Mathura by 100 times is the place on the Jamuna where the Keshi demon fell, and 100 times more sacred than the Keshi Tirtha is the spot nearby where Krishna rested after the demon was killed. Taddik bhagam vitapremna nam sarkirtana yutam tad akaryam hushtatra tam manushyam amagavyat. Heading in the direction of that sound, he heard it mingled with constant nam sankirtan performed in pure love, and so he looked for the person chanting. Commentary. From a distance, he recognized only the sound of crying, but as he approached, he heard the names of the Supreme Lord being sweetly chanted with great affection, with syllables drawn out long and melodious by someone whose heart seemed completely softened by love of God. He became intent upon finding the person chanting. Gananda karavanyanta so pashyan kanchit unmuka nirdarya tadvani sanam jamuna tiram avrajat. He entered a dense dark forest where he couldn't see anyone, but he discerned the place from which the sound came and he eagerly went there to the bank of the Jamuna. Commentary. So thick was the forest that the leaves of the trees left no space for the light of the sun to enter. The Brahmin saw no one, but could still hear the sound of Nam Sankirtan, which drew him further on. Tatra nipan nikunjantar gopavesha parichadam kishoram su kumarangam sundaram tad udaikshatar. There in a grove of kadamba trees he found a handsome young man whose body was very tender, with the dress and accoutrements of a cowherd. Commentary. The person the Brahmin discovered was dressed like a cowherd boy with a flute, buffalo horn, and herding stick, and with a peacock feather on his head. Every part of his body appeared auspicious. Nijeshta devata brantya gopaleti mahamuda samavayam tanamaya papata bhuvigandavat. Mistaking this person for his worshipable deity, the Brahmin joyfully called out, "O Gopal!" and fell to the ground like a rod to offer respects. Commentary. Because the cowherd sitting before the Brahmin was dressed and ornamented just like Madan Gopal, the Brahmin thought that this was the deity in person. The Brahmin wanted to offer a fitting salutation, so he at once fell flat on the ground and with spontaneous enthusiasm, secret sweetly called out, "O Gopal!" The offering of these 3 syllables, Gopala, was his way of properly honoring the Lord. Tato jata mahi drishti sasa ragya shiromani yatvatam maturam vikram kama kya deshubashinam shriman madam gopalo pashakam chasamagatam nishritya kunjuratapya natvalingyan nyavesaya. This young man was the crest jewel of those who know everything. As he regained external consciousness, he recognized his visitor as a mature Brahmin living in the district of the goddess Kamakya and worshipping Sriman Madan Gopal. The young cowherd stood up and came out of the grove, bowed down to the Brahmin and embraced him and made him sit down. Commentary. Interesting, he bowed down to the Brahmin. Here he is, associate of the Lord. He's Ganesh Guru, because he's a Brahmin, he bows down to him. The cowherd knew, without being told, that his guest was a Brahmin who had traveled to Vrindavan from a long distance. More specifically, he knew that this visitor was the child of a Brahmin family of Mathura, who had moved to the Kamarupa district in Assam, to worship the presiding goddess Kamakya. Furthermore, the young cowherd knew that this Brahman was now worshipping the lotus feet of Srimad and Gopal and had come for some special purpose of the Lord's. Actually, Sri Radha Devi had ordered the cowherd to go to the grove that morning, so he bowed down to his guest, raised him from the ground, embraced him, and invited him to sit down. Atha titina santosha vishvaso padanayasa kinchit tena bhutam bhutena nubhutam yad vyanjayam asasasmitam. To further gain the Brahman's confidence, the cowherd pleased him with hospitality and then smiled and revealed something about the Brahman's life. Commentary. The young cowherd, Gop Kumar, greeted his Brahman guest in a befitting manner, the time and place, and then briefly recounted what had happened in the Brahman's life, beginning with his worship of the goddess Kamakya and leading up to his coming to this place on the shore of the Yamuna. The cowherd expertly revealed things hidden in the Brahman's heart that no one else could have known. Why did he do this? He wanted to win the Brahman's trust so that the Brahman would believe what he was about to be told. Otherwise, the Brahman might be skeptical about Gop Kumar's fantastic story. Budva Gopa Kumaram Tam Labhve Vatma Priyam Buddha Vishvato Katayat Tasmin Svabritam Brahmano Kilam. The Brahman now understood that this was a young cowherd boy and accepted him as if the boy were a dear friend. Happily trusting him, the Brahman then recounted his own entire life story. When the Brahman understood that this was not his worshipful Lord, but a cowherd with all good qualities, the Brahman relaxed. Sa ka panyam idam chasho prasushta punarabhravit tam sarvagyam varammatva saptamam gopanandanam. Then with great timidity, considering this young child of the cowherds, the best of wise men and great saint, the Brahman submissively added on inquiry,
Sri Brahmano Vacha Shuddhabhu Vidam Sadhyam Sadhanam Chattatastata Prapyam Krityam Chaniyanetam Nakinchit Chakyate Maya. The Brahmana said, from various sources I have heard of various goals and various methods to achieve them, but still I cannot definitely decide what goal I should strive for and what I should do to reach it. Commentary. On the bank of the Ganga at Kashi and elsewhere, the Brahmana had heard various kinds of spiritual advice. He had heard in one place that heaven is the ultimate goal of life, and in another that liberation from the cycle of birth and death is the goal. And as for means of success, he had heard claims that karma was a means, or jnana, or other methods. No wonder he was confused. Yascha devya gaya kinchit anutishtami nityasa jasyapi kim palam tatscha katama karma vedmina. Whatever the goddess ordered me, I regularly do, but I have no idea about the results of those duties or even what kind of acts they are. Commentary. If the Brahmana did not know what the goal of his endeavor was and how he might achieve it, why was he continuing to chant his mantra? He was doing so because he had respect for the order of the goddess Kamakya. The little she had asked him to do, namely chant this mantra, was not much compared to the complex duties of householders and sannyasis that he had learned about from others. He continued chanting out of reverence for the goddess, not because he understood the essence of what he was doing. He was even unaware whether this chanting belonged to the category of ritual duties, cultivation of knowledge, or devotional service. Therefore, he thought, since his practice was not based on definite knowledge and faith, it had no real value for his spiritual advancement. Tanedam vipalam janma manvanam kamaye mritim param jivan ikripaya shivayor madhavasyacha. Therefore, I think my life worthless. I simply want to die. I continue to live only by the mercy of Lord Madhava and Lord Shiva and his wife. Commentary. It was at Prayag that the Brahmana had reached this point of crisis in his spiritual life. There also, however, he had received the grace of Lord Vishnu in the form of Sri Madhava and of Lord Vishveshvara and his wife, Kamakya Devi, would all appear in dreams to give him guidance. Tayeva Traja Sarvagyam Jyalum Tvam Svadevavat Prapya Hrista Prasannosmi Kripanam Mam Samudhara. Only by their mercy have I met you here today, a compassionate, all-knowing person. You are just like my worshipful deity, and I am very happy and satisfied to meet you. Now please deliver this wretched soul. Commentary. At Prayag, the Brahmana received the mercy of Sri Madhava, Visveshvara, and Kamakya Devi. But only in Vrindavan could he understand the inestimable value of that mercy. Now he is confident that Gopakumar is as good as Lord Madan Gopal. In other words, Gopakumar's transcendental instructions can easily lift him out of the ocean of his doubts and out of the vast ocean of material existence. Sri Prichaduvacha Nashamya Sadaram Tasya Vachinam Sa Vachintayat Etasya Kritakrityasya Jata Purna Tatakilav. Sri Prichit said, respectfully having heard the Brahmana's words, the young cowherd thought, this person has done everything he needs to do. Indeed, his life is a complete success. Commentary. The word adara is usually understood to mean respect, but it can also mean affection. With respect for the Brahmana's status as a mature Brahmana, and with special affinity for him as a fellow worshipper of Sri Madan Gopal, Gopakumar heard him out. Texts 102 through 108 describe Gopakumar's thoughtful concern for the Brahmana. Kevalam tat padam bhoja saksha iksha vishishyate tasjape pati nasa tim kintu tanana kirtane. All that remains for him is to see directly the lotus feet of the Lord. He needs to become attached not so much to the solitary chanting of the Lord's mantra, but to the sankirtan of his names. How's the difference between sankirtan of his names and chanting the Lord's mantra?
Probably just doing it in his mind rather than out loud.
Commentary. When received by Pancharitric initiation in the Vaishnava Sampradaya, Vishnu mantras deliver the chanter from illusion and provide a liberation and entrance into the divine life of devotional service. But the highest standard of pure love of God is obtainable not by the Pancharitrika Vidhi, but by the Bhagavad Vidhi of Nam Sankirtan, worship of Krishna's names without material motives. The Pranjyotisha Pura Brahmana have been chanting the 10-syllable Gopal mantra for some time with good effect. But only after he heard the Shuddha Nam from Gopakumar was he able to chant the same names of Lord Gopal in the perfect consciousness of Sankirtan. Offenseless Sankirtan with concentrated attention naturally develops into spontaneous attraction to Krishna and his loving service.
What are statements?
What's that?
Illuminating statements. Only after he heard Shudanam from Gopakumar was he able to chant in perfect consciousness. And then offenseless Sankirtan naturally develops into spontaneous attraction to Krishna and his loving service. Great stuff.
Shriman Madana Gopala Padabjo Pasana Param Nama Sankirtana Prayad Vanchatita Palaprada Tali Lastala Pali Nam Shadha Sandarsana Darai Sampadyamana Nitaram Kinchin Lastyeva Sadhanam. Certainly no means of perfection is superior to the worship of Shriman Madana Gopala's lotus feet. That worship yields results far beyond what one could expect. It should be performed mainly through Nam Sankirtan, along with reverence and affection for the many places of Sri Gopal's pastimes, places one should regularly visit. So this is instruction from Gopa Kumar to that.
He's thinking right now. He's thinking.
Who's thinking?
Gopa Kumar is thinking about the Brahman and where what his attainment is, and then what he actually needs in order to attain perfection.
So he should be doing what he's doing mainly through Nam Sankirtan.
Yeah.
Commentary. How then had the Brahman already made so much spiritual advancement? He had done so by worshipping Sri Krishna, although irregularly. He had been worshipping without the complete faith and understanding that come only from the special mercy of Krishna's pure devotees. But any contact with Krishna, the supreme goal of existence, all existence, assures absolute perfection, and so also does any contact with his names, for hearing and chanting of his names is the supreme method for attaining Krishna prema. Even offenses chanting of Krishna's names, if continued long enough, will free one from disqualifications. And even namabhas, offenseless chanting without real attachment, will quickly lead to liberation and the rise of transcendental attachment and taste. Thus, for spiritual upliftment, there is no better practice than the worship of the divine lotus feet of Lord Madan Gopal. In this verse, the Lord's feet are described as Sriman, indicating that they fully possess all types of wealth and splendor. They have the potency to satisfy all the heartfelt desires of a devotee and to delight in their ways, unanticipated by his conscious and even subconscious desires. The principal activity of this worship is Sankirtana, chanting out loud in melodious song the Lord's names by Krishna, Govind, and Gopal. Sri Prabhupada further suggests that the effects of Harinam Sankirtan are enhanced by visiting the sacred places in Brajabhumi, where Krishna enjoyed pastimes with his gopas and gopis, as much as other obligations in devotional service allow. Vaishnavas should wander about these places and see them with their own eyes. If they do this with love and respect, their nama bhajan will soon bear fruit. Sanjata pramakach chas mach chaktur varga vidam bhakat tat padabja vashivara anyat sajam nikinchana. There's no other final goal than that in which pure love of God appears, mocking the four lesser aims of life and bringing the Lord's lotus feet under one's control. Commentary. In comparison to Krishna prema, the four goals, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, appear insignificant. Only prema bhakti can bring the personality of God in under control. Sri Krishna Karshani Chasa. Iti bodhayatam chasya sarva samshaya nodanam savittam eva nikalam nunam pratipadyate daye. To bring him to this realization, first I must tell him my own history in full. That will clear away all his doubts. Commentary. The Brahmana needs to be informed that Krishna is the goal of his endeavors and that Nam Sankirtan is the means to achieve Krishna. But if Gopa Kumar were not to say this from the start, the Brahmana, his mind ruled by doubts and misconceptions, might not grasp the full import of the advice. Therefore, to win the Brahmana's trust, Gopa Kumar first needs to describe his own experiences, beginning from when he also received the same Gopal Mantra and continuing up to the present moment. That will drive away the Brahmana's doubts and wrong ideas. That it will also allow the Brahmana to drink the nectar of Sri Bhagavad Gita, which will render his heart pure enough to assimilate the transcendental knowledge he requires. In fact, that knowledge should then manifest itself automatically, even without needing to be explicitly stated. Sayaneva swamahatnyam katayate yanyatatsatam samatam syat tatapyasya nanyat yanat pradet. Describing one's own glories is disapproved by spiritual authorities, but nothing else I could tell will bring about his good fortune. Commentary. As the saying goes, Swaprasham sta jarom richu. Self-praise is as good as death.
Interesting.
All the same, Gopakumar understands that nothing but his own story will dispel the Brahmin's doubts and give him tough again. Because Gopakumar used his mystic power to describe the Brahmin's past, the Brahmin is already inclined to believe him. So Gopakumar should not hesitate to tell his own story and thereby make the Brahmin a fortunate. Since his own story is very similar to that of the Brahmana and will drive away all his doubts. Sri Radha's order will then be quickly carried out, and what would ordinarily have been a breach of etiquette will be perfectly acceptable behavior. What is Sri Radha's order? That he could go become my
earlier, he's going to mention it. She calls him and tells him that there's this mature Brahmin, he's my devotee. Because he's chanting the mantra. He says, go deliver him.
Eva Manishchaja Mahanubhavo Gopatmajosa Avadavya Prom Atmanubhutam Garitam Pravitta Puraniko Yadvat Rishi Puranam. Thus the saintly son of the cowherds made up his mind. He asked the Brahmana for his attention and began to speak about his own life, just as a sage versed in the Puranas would speak an epic. Commentary. Gopakumar spoke with great authority, although he was just a young herdsman. Anyone listening to him would think he was an ancient speaker of the Puranas like Ramaharshana Sutta or his son Ugrashrava, or a seer of Vedic mantras like the Rishi Vamadeva. His narration was as authoritative as the Puranas and fully in accord with all Shastras. The sage Devala has defined the characteristics of a Rishi. Urvaritastapasugro Niyatasi Chasamyami Shapanugra Ayosukta Satya Sundo Pavedrishi. A Rishi is one whose senate flows upward, who is fierce in observing austere vows, who eats moderately, controls his senses, is able to curse and bless, and adheres firmly to the truth.
Fierce in observing austere vows, eats moderately, is able to curse and bless.
You want to read?
Sri Gopakumara Vacha Atretihasa Bhavo Vidyante tapikatyate svavritam evanusmritya mohada apisangata. Sri Gopakumar said, there are many historical accounts relevant to this topic, but I'm going to tell you my own story, including recollections of what occurred at times when I was bewildered by ecstasy and other distractions. Commentary. There are many ancient historical accounts about what certain people did and said to one another that may be useful in explaining how to determine the best goal of life and the means to achieve it. These accounts are called itihasas. Paramartha kamukshanam upadesham samanditam purvavita katharitam itihasam prachakshate. I'm going to go around to everyone in the house and give them these sticky, soft pads to put on their doors so that it's banging all the doors. A text that consists of narrations of past events and includes instructions about religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation is called an itihasa. Gopakumar's plan, however, is to tell his own story instead. Of all forms of evidence for establishing the truth, experience from one's own life is the strongest. That's interesting. Thus, when Gopakumar frankly reveals the events of his life, the Brahmin should be persuaded of the higher truth that Gopakumar has grasped. On occasion, Gopakumar was unaware of what was going on around him because the overflowing of his love for the Supreme Lord disturbed his external perception. Even so, by virtue of his advanced self-realization, he can now recollect even the details of events which he was unconscious when they occurred. Many of these personal events are also too confidential to discuss freely in public, and Gopakumar may be somewhat embarrassed to mention them. He feels obliged, however, to do everything he can to help enlighten the Brahmana. As Gopakumar will tell the Brahmana in the last chapter of this book, Pasya Yachat Manasvasya Tadiyanam Api Durvam Vritam Paramagopyam Tat Sarvam Tat Katitam Maya. Just see, I have told you everything that happened to me and everything done by the Lord and His devotees, even that which is extremely confidential. Gopal Vritir Vaishyasya Govardhana Nivasina Putroham Vidrisho Bala Puragas Chadana Nija. I'm a son of a Vaishya of Govardhan who made his living as a cowherd. As a young boy of that community, I used to tend my own cows. Tasmin Govardhana Krishna Tire Vrindavanitracha Mature Mandale Balai Samam Vipra Balastita. O best of learned Brahmins, I stayed in the company of other boys there at Govardhan, here in Vrindavan, on the banks of the Yamuna, at various other places in the district of Mathura. Commentary. Now Gopakumar begins his story, which will continue till the end of the sixth chapter. He was born in a Vaishya community, in a family of cowherds. Many scriptures, including Srimad Bhagavatam, describe that Vaishyas may engage in four occupations: trade, banking, farming, and cow protection. Krishi, Vanidya, Gauraksha, Kushi, Damcha. As this history unfolds, we shall find that although a long time has passed since Gopakumar was an innocent boy at Govardhan, he has not aged at all. As he explains later, this was due to a blessing given him by his spiritual master. Tametasya pralavena chirajivi bhavanvaham idri goparvarupascha tat pralatarha manasa. By the potency of this mantra, may you live a long time, may you always have the form of a cowherd boy, and may you develop the right mentality for tasting the mantra's fruit. Gopakumar's tending a herd of his own cows meant that his family was relatively well-to-do and independent. In the course of doing this work, he wandered over the area within the 20 yojana circumference of Mathura Mandal. Among the places he used for cowherding, his special favorites were Govardhan, the forests of Vrindavan, and the shores of Jamuna. Sometimes he went to other locations in the dam like Mahavan. But according to one transcendental opinion, Vrajabhumi consists of nothing but Govardhan, Vrindavan, and the Jamuna, since these three places pervade the entire dam. That's a far-out statement. I never at least remembered if I heard it. But according to one transcendental opinion, Vrajabhumi consists of nothing but Govardhan, Vrindavan, and the Jamuna, since these three places pervade the entire dam. In other words, Govardhan, Vrindavan, and Jamuna are everywhere throughout Braj. In any case, there's no place outside Vrajadam where a cowherd can get real benefit from his occupation. Gopakumar addresses his new student by saying, "O best of learned Brahmanas," because the student hails from the Brahmin community of Mathura. Vanamadev Pashyano Nityam Ekam Vijottamam Divyamurtim Viraktadyam Paryatantam Itastata. In the forest, we regularly saw a certain first-class Brahmin wandering from place to place, who was very renounced, and his body appeared like that of a god. Commentary. This person, the boys frequently saw, was in truth the best of Brahmins. His body was golden and very beautiful. Kirtayantam hu krishnam japadhyana ratam kvachit nityantam kvapi gayantam kvapi hasa param kvachit. He was always chanting the glories of Krishna. Sometimes he sang, and sometimes danced. Sometimes absorbed in meditation, he chanted his mantra to himself, and sometimes he gave himself to laughter. Commentary. The outstanding characteristic of this Brahman was that he always vibrated Krishna's glories, either with a two-syllable name Krishna or with other names of the personality of Godhead. He would sing these names sweetly in various ways. He sometimes appeared withdrawn into his private japa and dhyana, which he dutifully performed daily, even though he was already perfect in chanting the Lord's holy names. As the tantras describe, even the perfect person who has perfected the chanting of his mantra should continue to perform regular worship through japa and dhyana to show gratitude to his spiritual benefactors. Siddha mantropi putatma tri sandhyam devam archayat niyamenaika sandhyam va japet ashtotaram satam. Even if one has perfected his mantra and is completely pure in heart, he should still worship the Lord at the three junctures of the day by the method prescribed, or at least at one of these three times he should do his worship, and 108 times he should chant japa this mantra. Uh-huh. So at least these were chanting 108 times they would chant their mantra. When the Brahman seemed withdrawn, intent on his prescribed chanting and meditation, in fact his outward senses were inactive, not because he was controlling them out of duty, but because ecstatic love was swelling up within. Vikoshantam pachit bhumo shkalantam kvapi matavat lutantam bhuvikutrapi uhudantam pachit uchakari. Sometimes he shouted or loudly sobbed, or stumbled and fell to the ground, or rolled about on the ground like a madman. Visamyam patitam kvapi shlishma lala shrudharya pankayantam gavam vartma rajam simitabat kvachit. Sometimes he fell unconscious and lay still like a corpse, the flood of his mucus, saliva, and tears turning the dust on the cow path into mud. Because the Brahman was practicing such intense chanting of the Lord's names, he would sometimes feel joy so immense that he would lose outward consciousness. Sometimes he would collapse without wetting the ground, as described here, and then he would appear to have died. Kautukena vayam bala yamumum bikshitum sada satukopa kumaram no labva namati bhaktita. Out of curiosity, the cowherd boys would often come look at him, but when he saw us in front of him, he would bow down to us with devotion. Commentary. He apparently had great respect for the little boys, despite their having no special respect for him. Gaham aslishyati prevna sarvangeshu sachumbanam parityaktum nashaknoti madrasham priyabandhuvat. He would heartily embrace us and affectionately cover us with kisses as if we were his best friends. He was unable to give up our company. Commentary. Immersed in Krishna praying, this Brahman was attracted to these village boys because they resembled young Krishna and his cowherd friends. Priyabandhu has several meanings: best friends, close relatives, most dear devotees of the Lord, and the Supreme Lord, who is dear to his devotees. Mayagu Rasodhanadi Sivayaso Prasadita Ekada Jamunetire Pratyalingya Jagatamam. He was pleased with my service, like giving gifts of milk products. One day, meeting me on the shore of the Jamuna, he embraced me and spoke in this way. Commentary. Gopamar gave his new friend presents of milk, yogurt, and other milk products, and would also carry his water pot and follow him around. This kind of voluntary service pleased the great soul, who became disposed to give the boy his mercy. Vatsattam shaka labhishta siddhim iccha sichedimam vishadam jagat ishasya snatva kesham dihanamat. My dear child, if you want to fulfill all your desires, please bathe at Keshugat and then accept from me this mercy of the Lord of the universe. Commentary. Normally considered mercy of the Supreme Lord something intangible, but the saintly Brahman called it this mercy, as if it were a tangible object in front of them. He told Gopakumara, just take it from me, as if literally placing it in his hands. Eva metam bhavam mantram snata yopadidesha me Purnakamuna Pikshilpi Sadayaram Shiromani. Thus, after I bathed, he imparted to me the same mantra you are chanting. Although he was fully satisfied in himself and indifferent to material things, he was the crest jewel of all compassionate souls. Since Gokumara and his student had been initiated into the same mantra, their relationship should become very friendly. When Gokumara got his mantra, he should not have thought that this was his guru's way of reciprocating the gifts of buttermilk and yogurt. His guru, being fully self-satisfied, did not need the service. Only out of infinite compassion for the solemn souls did the guru show Gokumara his mercy. Puja viram shikshayitam dyeyam uccharayam jape prema kulogatam mohan rudan virhan viva virahin nivasa. He was about to explain the method of worship with the mantra, but as soon as he mentioned the object of meditation, he was overcome by pure love of God, became confused, and started crying like a woman separated from her lover. Commentary. Gokumara's guru had the instructions for properly using the mantra just on the tip of his tongue. He was about to tell Gokumara how to mark the body with the syllables of the mantra, how to meditate systematically on the meaning of the mantra, and all the other details for reciting the mantra in worship. But as soon as he started to describe the beautiful form of Sriman Madan Gopal, a sudden ecstasy caught hold of him, and crying like a lovesick woman, remembering her distant beloved, he lost his train of thought. Sangyam prapto takinchinna prastum shakto maya via utayo vi manaskoga kvapi prapta punarnasa. When he regained normal consciousness, I was afraid to ask him anything. He stood up, away, distressed, and after that he was nowhere to be found. Commentary. Having just received initiation, Gokumara felt deep reverence for his spiritual master, and without first being spoken to, he dared not say anything. He feared he might have done something offensive to upset his guru, and thought that if he said anything wrong, his guru might start crying again. Why did the sainted Brahmin give the missing instructions? Unasked, in his ecstatic mood, he was unhappy and distracted, so he went away saying nothing more, and because he had no fixed residence, he was not to be found again. That is Gokumara's initiation. Same time, sort of very broad, encompassing, embracing. And you're going to go from here to
Australia, Melbourne, Australia, for 2 days, and then to New Zealand until mid-December, when I have to do the Australia, coming back to India for 5 days because I go to the Neko village.
Were you teaching?
No, Yale University is doing a conference there on religion and ecology.
Oh.
It's quite extraordinary.
Well, how did they follow them up? How did they get there?
They know one professor who's in charge of the religious studies department at Indiana University, and he recommended them to the big guns in the field of religion and ecology.
Hmm.
He recommended the place, like this is an ideal place.
Third.